If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tasteofchicago.com to order today.
Every Thursday afternoon, he answers your questions on this show. So pick up the phone, text your question, whatever works best for you. Anything to do with home repair, building, those issues that you just can't figure out at your house. You know, you get into a DIY project and then you're like, what am I doing? This Thursday Ask Lou segment is sponsored by Lynn Home Roofing. Their family has your family covered. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. How are you today, Lou?
I'm doing well. How are you? Congratulations on your new little pup.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. I can't even stand it. You got any training tips, Lou?
No, just patience. You know that.
Yeah,
patience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she's 12 weeks old and she already sits on command. So that's a beautiful thing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Your first question came through. They seem a little frustrated. They said, I have a running toilet. How do you get the seal in properly? I've been working on this for 2 days.
Oh, good. Well, if we're talking about the seal between the tank and the bowl, that is critical because that will allow water to leak in between those two fixtures, and we can't have that. You really have to make sure that when you separate that is fitting properly. It's kind of a malleable, soft foam, and it should fit in there easily. And then typically with a toilet tank to a bowl, there's either two or three brass bolts that adjust them to actually make that connection point. It's important that you tighten those evenly so that it pulls the valve down, the washer down evenly so it seals properly. So just make sure that those bolts are tightened properly. When you stand back and look at the tank, it should be standing straight up and down on top of the bowl.
I don't know how you're going to respond to this next question, but they want to know how to get a groundhog out from underneath their house. First of all, let me say, if there's a groundhog underneath your house, you better start worrying about your foundation.
Oh my gosh. Our daughter used to live in Grand Rapids, and she had a groundhog that she would send me pictures of, and it was enormous. I could not believe how big this thing was. You know, with groundhogs, it's tough. There's two choices. You can either try and eliminate it by, quote, eliminating it.
Right.
Or you can try to repel it. And if you want to try and repel it, one thing you can try, there's a product by Bonide, B-O-N-I-D-E, B-O-N-I-D-E, Bonide, called the Sonic Spike. And it is a plastic spike that you put 3C batteries in. You take a broom handle and stick it in the ground, and you drive this into the ground. And it does a little chatter under the ground that the groundhogs, moles, and voles hear. And it sounds like a rodent in distress. Mm. And they get uncomfortable, and they don't want to be there.
Have you tried this before, Lou?
I have.
And it worked for you?
And it did. And I've used it for ground squirrels as well. Some people don't have success with it. It you're right, Steve. Not everybody has success with it. But it's, I don't know, $25 item.
Right.
If you're not looking to kill the groundhog, which a lot of people aren't, this is something to try.
I had a family of groundhogs under my porch in Michigan one summer, so I bought one of those things, and I looked out, and all the baby groundhogs were dancing around it.
Play us some more music, right. Mr. Bertrand.
This is not Ring Around the Rosie, scat.
And let me just tell you, if you hire a wildlife handler, a licensed handler, they're going to eliminate that animal, just so you know. Look, I've tried to say, please relocate it, and they're like, we don't relocate. So,
right.
But I'm telling it's you what, the they're a danger, it, right, to your foundation.
If you hire somebody, if you have a skunk problem, and you hire a licensed professional, they do the same.
Right.
They eliminate them, and that's just what happens.
Right. All right, let's take some questions. Is his phone line locked in, Patrick? Just want to make sure we're good. All right, we will go to Darlene. Darlene, what's your question about carpet cleaning?
Okay. I live in a house that is on a cement slab. And after the holidays, I was thinking of having my carpeting cleaned. Is that advisable since it's on a concrete slab?
Yeah, the whether it's on a concrete slab or not really has no bearing as to getting the carpets cleaned. You know, the, if you're waiting to do it after the holidays, after you have company and whatnot, I think that, you know, that's certainly a good thing. That way you have less traffic going on there. And just keep in mind that when it does get cleaned, especially professionally, it usually takes about a good 24 hours for it to dry. So things will be damp during that time frame. But it will be remarkable how much stuff comes out of that carpeting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's on carpeting has no issue whatsoever.
Lou, these people just had their bathroom remodeled. The contractor used a denatured alcohol on my quartz countertop to clean off adhesive, some of it discolored. Any way to restore that? Question two, they also have greasy fingerprints on a small area of my frosted shower door. What do you suggest? Let me tell you, find a better contractor next time.
Well, yeah, the denatured alcohol, yeah, they could have discolored if it's, you know, depending on the finish on the countertop, you may need to have whomever put the countertop in to come back and repolish. It can repolish it. It's not a easy process, but it can be done. The greasy fingerprints on the shower door, I would just use a degreaser like crud cutter, spray it on there, let it sit there for about 5 minutes or so, and then use a sponge to wipe it away.
Wow, that's a lifesaver for those people. That's so stressful. Okay, Kat, is it Kay? Kay, you're on with Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini.
Hello. I had a question. We have an April Air humidifier attached to our heating system. How do I know if it's working? The air seems so dry. I don't see any condensation coming out of the tube at the bottom. It's plugged in.
Okay. Do you know if you have a on the furnace or somewhere in the house, is there a dial with a setting that you can set the thermostat with, the humidistat with?
Yeah.
Okay, and what's that
set
at?
I have it at about 35 right now.
Okay. So there should be a portion for you to turn it all the way to test, T-E-S-T. With the furnace running, click at the test. You should hear it click on. And you should then hear the water running. The test actually overrides everything, and, you know, it should be going through the home. Now, if you're noticing that it's still very dry in the house, that humidistat, there could be something faulty there. Turn it up and see if you get it to flow. If you buy a small digital hygrometer that you can buy at the hardware store or online for $10, it's digital. It'll tell you the temperature in the home and the humidity level in the home. Place that in a room where you notice it's dry. It takes about 24 hours for that reading to come out. And you want to be around 30% during the winter, anywhere from 20 to 30%.
Thank you so much, Lou. You can't believe how many questions are lined up here. Oh, my gosh. He's on Saturday morning. I heard Bob Surratt call your show last Saturday morning. He just makes me laugh. I loved every moment of listening to the two of you on the radio together.
Well, you know, I'm trying to give that guy, you know, he's new to broadcasting.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to give him a little air time because I think he's got a bright future as a broadcaster.
Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.